This is Sheila Hamill and Andrew Ridgwick with New Day Dawning. Welcome to the programme and thank you for joining us on Hospital Radio for Northumberland and North Tyneside.
I'm getting ready for a new day dawning. I'm getting ready for a brand new morning. Packing my bags for a heavenly journey. I can't wait to be there. No, I can't wait to be there.
Have you ever at any time in your life said to yourself, I really wish I'd been in on that conversation? That thought crossed my mind when I read a certain part of this passage before us today from Luke chapter 24, beginning to read at verse 36. While they were talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and terrified and thought that they were seeing a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you frightened? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet. See that it is I myself. Touch me and see. For a ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While in their joy they were disbelieving and still wondering, he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." Let's listen to our first hymn, "Open Our Eyes, Lord," from Christian Worship.
Open our eyes, Lord.
Here we have in our gospel reading today the risen Jesus appearing to the disciples proving to them that he is their resurrected Lord and not a ghost. He does this through his reassuring words, by inviting them to touch his wounds, and by consuming the food they gave him. But is this the only reason for his appearance? No, it wasn't. It seems that there was a specific purpose behind his visit. Education. It's so easy to read a passage like this and completely miss the full impact of what Jesus wants to reveal to them. Everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled, he says. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. He wants to educate them. He wants his disciples to understand that many ancient scriptures written hundreds of years ago about his death and resurrection were now fulfilled. This is the conversation I wish I'd been part of. Now, which scriptures was Jesus pointing out? That's what we'd like to know. So let's just imagine Jesus as a modern-day teacher instructing his disciples on this subject as if they were a class of children. You didn't know you were getting a drama today, did you? Right, everyone, listen up, pay attention. James, John, behave yourselves. Jesus recognized Moses as the writer of early books of the Bible, such as Genesis and Exodus. After all, Moses was brought up as an educated prince of Egypt, and recording events was common hundreds of years before he lived. So I want you to listen to a story from Genesis in this next song, and tell me what God tells Abraham to do rather than offer his son as a sacrifice. Abraham was tested, oh so sorely tested. He just got a message from the living God. Go down to Moriah, sacrifice your boy there. Burn him as an offering, then report to me. Early the next morning, as the day was dawning, saddled up his donkey, set off on his way. Isaac travelled with him, trusting and unknowing. Lamb for the burnt offering, Abraham load grain. Come to your daddy, my little laddie. Don't think badly of me, I've a job to do. Put him on an altar and he didn't falter, raised his knife to slay him. Then he heard a voice, Abraham, don't hurt him, lay no hand upon him. Now God knows you're faithful, offered him your son. Now what takes the biscuit from a nearby thicket? Abraham found a ram there, offered it instead. The answer? Yes. God provides a substitute to take the boy's place. A male lamb, a ram caught up in the thicket, becomes the sin offering to save Abraham's son and indeed Abraham's offspring from death and sin. Does this remind you of any other story you've experienced recently? A lamb dying as a sacrifice in place of humans? A substitute? No? I'll give you a clue. John the Baptist once addressed someone as the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Yes, Andrew, of course, well done. Of course, you were the one who heard John the Baptist saying those words. Moses himself prophesied the coming of a Messiah, one from Abraham's line. Now sit up, everyone, we're getting somewhere. What about the Passover story in Exodus, where Moses was trying to rescue the Hebrews from slavery? God told Moses to smear something around the doorposts of the Hebrew people to protect them from the angel of death passing over them. What was it? Yes, the blood of a lamb. Raise your hands if you can see a link between these two stories and the crucifixion. Good, all of you. And does anyone know the time of year when the crucifixion took place? Yes, the Passover. Correct. In both stories, the blood of the lamb saves the people from either sin or death.
Oh, the blood of Jesus.
That was Oh, the Blood of Jesus, sung there from Shiloh Bluegrass. Now, class, what about the prophets? What did they teach us about the Messiah? Well, not only do we have where he would be born, the prophet Micah tells us Bethlehem. The prophet Isaiah tells us how he would be born, of a virgin. We're told by the prophet Zechariah that he would be betrayed for 30 pieces of silver, and he would die with the wicked but be buried with the rich. That's again from Isaiah. But there's much more in greater detail in chapter 53 of Isaiah, where a sinless, suffering servant without beauty or majesty is despised and rejected, is thought of as cursed by God, and he would be led like a lamb to the slaughter to suffer death. Also, the victim would be pierced for our sins, but at the same time his wounds would bring healing. Again, who do you think they're speaking about? Yes, Peter, always the first with your hand up. Yes, once again, correct. The Christ, the Son of the living God.
Led like a lamb to the slaughter in silence and shame. There on your back you carried a world of violence and pain, bleeding, dying, bleeding, dying. Master, right hand of the Father, now seated on high. You have begun your eternal reign of justice and joy. Glory.
Did you all know that the prophets also speak of the Messiah as Emmanuel, God with us, and that he would be addressed as Mighty God? But what about the Psalms? Children, sit up, concentrate a little longer and listen carefully to these prophecies, which can all be found in one psalm, Psalm 22. There are 16 of these in all. Tell me who this reminds you of here. My God, why have you forsaken me? He was scorned by men, despised by the people. The people shouted out, "He trusts the Lord, let the Lord rescue him." All my bones are out of joint. My tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth. Evil men surround me. They've pierced my hands and feet. Remember, there was no punishment like this then when this was written. I can count all my bones. They divide my garments among them and cast lots for my clothing. It is finished. In other words, mission accomplished. Psalm 16 also has this to say, "You will not abandon me to the realm of the dead, nor will you let your faithful one see decay." Now, who does this remind you of? Mary, you've got your hand up? Well, you would know, wouldn't you? You were there at the foot of the cross constantly. You were there early that Sunday too, when the tomb was empty. Let's listen to a lovely hymn called "When I Survey the Wondrous Cross," sung by Robin Mark.
When I survey the wondrous cross on which the and sorrow.
Now, children, my final question before this lesson ends. Of all these prophetic words we've heard from Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms, what is the probability of them all coming true in one person? Would anyone hazard a guess? Too difficult? I'll see. It's said that there are 300 such prophecies. Well, what about if, say, just 8 of them came to be fulfilled in one person? What do you think mathematicians say are the odds of that happening? No? I'll tell you. 1 to the power of 27. That is 1 with 27 nothings after it. Well, anyway, there's the bell. Off you go for your break. Let's listen to Maranatha Singers singing, Lord, I lift your name on high. And so Jesus explained clearly to them how it was foretold that he must suffer and die and rise again on the third day, and how repentance and forgiveness of sins would be preached in his name to all nations. Now, we don't need to be there in Jesus' schoolroom, do we, to learn what he said about the link between himself and these readings, because what Jesus taught them comes to light in what the gospel writers have written. As we read the stories of Jesus there, we also come across these same references to ancient scriptures, which often begin with the words, as it was written. So the disciples passed on what he revealed to them that day. Professor Peter W. Stoner, author of Science Speaks, once wrote, "Anyone who rejects Christ as the Son of God is rejecting a fact proved perhaps more absolutely than any other fact in the world. To all those who might believe that these prophecies were self-fulfilling," the professor also went on to say that Jesus had no control over things like where, when, and how he was born, or where he would be buried, which just adds to the available evidence that he did not just work to make this happen in order that people would believe him to be the Messiah. In my own Bible, today's reading from Luke 24, 36 to 48, ends 4 lines onto the next page, which is blank. Now, what an impact it would have had its publishers filled that page with some of these prophecies I've mentioned today and gathered them all together in one place, because when grouped together like this, they are truly mind-blowing. Have a good week, everyone. And may God continue to open our hearts and minds to his eternal truths. And so it is, goodbye from my technician, Andrew Ridgwick.
Bye for now.
And from myself, Sheila Hamill. We're going to finish with a lovely song by Keith and Kristen Getty, written also by Stuart Townend, called Behold the Lamb of God. Bye for now.
Behold the Lamb who bears our sins away, slain for us. Promise made that all who come in faith find forgiveness at the cross. And so we share in this bread of life. bonds of peace around the table of the King. The body of our Savior Jesus Christ torn for you. Eat and remember the wounds that heal, the death that brings us life, paid the price to make us one. Every step.